This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Pardon?
Good to go.
Good to go, huh? طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So today, inshallah, we'll be talking about one of the main pillars of Islam. We know that, everyone knows that the pillars of Islam are five. And one of them is the payment of zakat. For those who have wealth, enough wealth, which makes them obligated to pay the zakat, to make the payment. And everyone knows that the zakat, the obligation of zakat, was strongly linked to the obligation of the ibadah of salat in the Quran. So zakat and salat were linked, were mentioned together in more than 26 ayat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like the message we might conclude actually from this, that any Muslim community should be built on these two strong pillars, salat, iqamatu salat, wa ita'u zakat. The establishing the salah and the payment of the zakat. So the establishment of the salat is supposed to maintain our spiritual well-being. Through salat, we communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are, you know, spiritually, we become spiritually healthy. We'll have a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a spiritual perspective. The zakat is supposed to maintain our Islamic social welfare system. So we need to be, the community will become financially healthy when the zakat is paid, because the poor or the wealthy are supporting the poor, and everyone is, the community becomes united. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned those who do not pay zakat that they might face a severe punishment on the Day of Judgment. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. This is in Surah Al-Tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these people might face a severe punishment on the Day of Judgment. And actually, if you study the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and some ahadith, they're very strong. Actually, there is a very strong message about the punishment of those who do not pay zakat, that their wealth will be turned into plates of fire on the Day of Judgment, and then their foreheads, their backs, and their sides will be branded with these plates of fire during a period of time, a day, the length of which will be 50,000 years. And this process will be repeated during this period of time. We don't know. It's part of the unseen. We don't know the reality of this period, 50,000 days. So, but it seems like it's a long period. And then at the end of the hadith, this hadith in Sahih Muslim, this person who faced this kind of punishment will know his fate or his path. It will either lead him to Jannah or Jahannam. And this hadith, we use it as a proof to say that those who do not pay zakat, but they believe in the obligation of zakat, are still Muslims. So these are Muslims who might face this kind of punishment. They are not kuffar. Because who are the kuffar? They are the deniers of the obligation, those who deny the obligation of zakat. They don't believe that it is one of the pillars of Islam. So those people do not, actually they leave the fold of Islam. They're not Muslims anymore. But those who are Muslims, but they don't pay it for whatever reason. Some of them, they say they are wealthy, they say it's too much money. I cannot make the payment. There is one imam who mentioned the story of one of these Muslims. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hidayah lil-jami'. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everyone with his guidance. Extremely wealthy. And he said, if I pay my zakat, it will be millions of dollars. So I cannot, it's too much money. This was one of the imams. He didn't, of course, he didn't mention names. But it's a story, one of the stories of people who do not pay zakat. And I personally, I have met many people who made tawbah and they felt bad about not paying zakat for a long period of time. And suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them some guidance and they woke up. And they felt like this is a major obligation and I have to take care of it. And I need to calculate how much, you know, zakat payment I missed, and alhamdulillah, they start correcting themselves, which is beautiful, alhamdulillah. As long as we make tawbah before death, then we are fine. So, it is a major sin for those who believe in it, but they don't pay it due to negligence. For them, it's one of the major sins. So what is the wisdom and what are the benefits of paying zakat? When zakat is paid, both individuals, communities will benefit from this payment, from the fulfillment of this duty. So we are told that the wealth of the person who pays the zakat is purified, right? His heart is purified from greed. He's not greedy. Money does not control him. He's able to reach his pocket and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in control of his wealth. His wealth does not control him. So he's not the servant of the dirham and the dinar. He's not. He's the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah told him that I am the one who gave you this wealth. I am the one who gave you this money. And you have the obligation to pay 2.5 only. I always tell people, remember, don't think about 2.5%. Think about 97.5%. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing you to keep 97.5%. That if you decide to give some extra money, that's your choice, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you, when we say 2.5, we're talking usually about cash and gold and silver, or cash equivalent, or inventory, or merchandise. But when it comes to farming activities, agriculture, there are some other calculations. Livestock, there are some other calculations. If someone is a farmer, is growing, breeding, he has livestock, sheep, and some other animals. So the calculation is different. But usually, for most of the people, it is 2.5% if they follow the lunar calendar. If they follow the Hijri calendar. If they follow the Gregorian calendar, which is not recommended, it's a little bit different, 2.577. We'll talk about it later on, inshallah. So your business will be blessed, your heart will be blessed, your relationship, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will be blessed. So there is purification, growth, and blessing. And then some ulama took this meaning from this ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَاهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. There are some Muslims, unfortunately, when they read this ayah, they think that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Messenger of Allah to take from their wealth. Take, O Muhammad, from their wealth a charity by which you purify them. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ بِهَا. So we think that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was supposed to take this money, put it in his pocket, or spend it on his family. It was haram for him to benefit from zakat money. It was haram for his family to benefit from zakat money. He was not allowed. He was not allowed. He would be walking in the street, and he would find a date on the ground. And he would say, if I am sure that this date is not from sadaqah, from zakat, I would have taken it and eat it. And in a different hadith, he said, I would go home, I will find one date on my bed, And I don't touch it, I don't eat it, because I'm not sure if it is from the sadaqah, zakat, or it was just just food that is at my house. One time, he went to a warehouse, and they were counting some, they were having some dates from sadaqah, from zakat, and he had his grandchild with him. Most likely it was Al-Hassan, because Hassan was older than Hussein. I'm not sure, but this is what I believe. I believe he was Al-Hassan, one of them. But I believe he was Al-Hassan, 5 years old. He took one date. He put it in his mouth. Al-Hassan, the grandchild of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah immediately took it from his mouth and he said, didn't you know that we are not allowed to consume anything from zakat? So it was haram for him and for his family. And I believe this is one of the proofs that he was a true messenger of God. This is something that we need to look into it. Whenever we think about proofs of prophethood, this one should be one of them. Because when we look at the proofs of prophethood, you have to look at many things and you put them together and it's a beautiful a profile there of a true messenger of God. He cannot be a fabricator. Because it was easy, it would have been easy for him to say, God has revealed to me that I have the right to take 20% or 10% from zakat money, right? We know that in his house, sometimes, his wife would not find food to cook, something to cook at home. And he would survive, they would survive with water and dates. And yet, he did not approach the money coming from zakat. He said, it's haram for me. So this is a proof that he was a true messenger of God, and this should increase our confidence in his message. And we should share this message with the young ones in our circles, in our families, in our friends, who sometimes some of them have doubt about the message of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we said that when zakat is paid, one of the benefits is poverty will be alleviated. So zakat is supposed to deal with the problem of poverty. Lack of resources. These resources are supposed to be divided within the community. Everyone is happy. Everyone is, the needs of everyone are sufficed. This should be the case. So we have the story of Mu'adh ibn Jabal here, who, when Rasulullah sent him to Yemen, he told him that, of course, you start calling them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell them about Tawheed, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that I am the messenger of God. If they accept this, tell them about the obligation of the prayer. If they accept that, then tell them about zakat, and tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory upon them. And he said it is to be taken from their wealthy and distributed among their poor. So taken from the wealthy members of the society, and given to the poor members of that society. That's why many ulama, they believe that zakat should be distributed locally. It is permissible to send it overseas. It is permissible to send it to other communities. But priority is always to suffice the needs of the local community. That is a priority. Based on this hadith. And this hadith is also important when it comes to concluding which way we calculate the way when we calculate the nisab of the zakat. Do we use the gold standard or the silver standard? Do we use the price of gold or the price of silver? There is a huge difference between both of them, between the two of them these days, between gold and silver. So this hadith will help us actually to make a conclusion, to reach the right conclusion, and say that we should use actually the measurement of gold. We should use the price of gold to measure the nisab, which is 85 grams of pure gold. We'll talk about it, inshallah. And those who receive the zakat are supposed to be happy. They're supposed to be happy, they're supposed to be grateful, they're supposed to appreciate the donations and the kindness of their wealthy brothers, right? So their hearts are supposed to be purified from what? From hasad, destructive jealousy. And they shouldn't have any grudges or resentment, feelings of resentment towards those who are wealthy. And their needs are fulfilled. There will be some Islamic brotherhood. People will love each other. They will like each other. They will appreciate each other. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So it's many things. There are many things that are beautiful about this obligation of zakat. Now, when we talk about zakat, we always need to pay attention to these four things here. The intention of paying the zakat. So when you give the zakat, you have to have the intention of zakat. You cannot just give a sadaqah, and then after 1 month or 2 months, you change your mind. You say, oh, that donation, which I donated 2 months ago, maybe I will turn it into a zakat payment. It doesn't work this way. It doesn't work this way. I'm talking here about these are real examples in our communities. Yani, people, you know, they have this kind of sometimes, you know, behavior. They will tell you, okay, I don't have to pay zakat or calculate my zakat at the end of the year because I've been giving sadaqah for the whole year. I mean, you have to distinguish, were you giving sadaqah or zakat? If it was zakat, it's okay. You calculate how much you paid at the end of the year, calculate how much you have, and then you compare. Did you pay more, less? You know, that's okay if you paid it with the intention of zakat. But if it was a regular sadaqah, you cannot at the end of the year turn it into a zakat. Or give a loan to someone, this is one of misconceptions, and then when he tells you, I'm not able to pay you, I don't have money, and I don't think I'll be able to pay you in the future because I'm struggling, tell him, don't worry about it, I'll just turn it into a zakat payment. That is my zakat for this year. You can't do that because when you gave it to him, it was a loan, it was not zakat. So anyway, the intention is very important here. The nisab, which is the amount of wealth which makes you obligated to pay zakat. Okay, if we follow the gold standard, it is the value of 85 grams of pure gold, which is these days, like March 1st was one, like 7,000 something, 600 or 700. And as of today is 8,000. Yeah, the value of gold is going up like crazy. So as of today is around 8,000. That is the nisab. Who should pay attention to the nisab? Those who are saving. They started working a few months ago. They got a full-time job. And they're saving money. Saving. And they have around 7,000, 8,000 now. They have to pay attention to the nisab. Someone has a 1 million in his account, or he has 100,000, 50,000. He doesn't have to worry about the nisab. He's way beyond the nisab. So he doesn't have to talk about the nisab. Zakat is an obligation upon him, right? So the nisab is for those who started saving. They got a job, they are young people, and then they started saving money. Then they have to watch their saving. When they're saving, reach this amount, the value of 85 grams of pure gold, then they have to record it and then wait for 1 year, al-hawl, the passing of 1 year in the Hijri calendar. And of course, this is a basic principle for someone who started counting. It's good for those who start counting from day one, from the day they accumulated this amount of money, the nisab. But at times, they will get some income just before. If the method and their obligation will fall in Ramadan, they might get some income before Ramadan. And this income stayed with them only for 2 months here. So we have 2 months, but the Islamic Sharia is talking about 1 year. So here, don't be confused about it. This is just a way of making the payment of zakat easier. So the ulama, they said, just count how much you have on your zakat anniversary. Your zakat anniversary will be after the passing of 1 year from the time you owned the nisab. Say, I owned the nisab last Sha'ban, right, in 1444. This year, Sha'ban 45, that is my zakat anniversary. I'm supposed to pay zakat this year, Sha'ban, the last month, right? So, but if I got some money before Sha'ban, 1 month or 2 months, it's okay. I can include it in my zakat calculation and pay zakat on it, even though I had it only for 1 month or 2 months. But one hawl, you can follow, you know, this principle for each income, but it will be difficult. But it is good for the beginning, for those who calculate their saving for the first time, to know their zakat anniversary, and every year on the same date, they will start paying zakat, and they can pay zakat on everything, including the income that they just received, and it stayed with them for just a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Full and complete ownership. This is the fourth condition here. If you don't fully own your money, let's say your money is in a country and this country has a crisis and they tell you you are wealthy, you have money in the bank, but there is a new law. We cannot give you your money. We'll give you a small amount every month. So you don't have full access to your money. Your ownership is not complete. In this case, you don't have to pay zakat on the full amount that you own, that is saved for you in the bank, because your ownership is not complete. Or someone who has money in a pension account and he has no access to this money, no access whatsoever. They tell him, you're going to benefit from your money when you reach the age of 65 and you start withdrawing your money, your pension. Then at that time, you can withdraw your money. You have access to it. Then this person doesn't have to pay zakat, because his ownership is not complete. So basically, zakat is due on the wealth of every Muslim, young or old, male or female, that is held in savings for one calendar year after it has reached the nisab threshold. Here in this guide, if you are looking at the guide of zakat, if you go to page 5, they tell you those required to pay zakat must be adult. Must be adult, this is the opinion in the Hanafi madhab. But the Jumhur, they say a child has to pay zakat. Who will pay on his behalf? Is his guardian or his parent will pay on his behalf. And they are the ones who will make the niyyah for this zakat. Because a child, if he's a younger child, he doesn't know how to make niyyah, right? He doesn't understand the importance of zakat. But let's say he's wealthy. His father passed away and he left for him like $1 million, $2 million in the account. So الزَّكَاةُ حَقٌّ فِي الْمَالِ, it is the right of the poor and the needy in this wealth, on this wealth, right? So in the opinion of majority, in the view of the majority of Muslim scholars, رَأِي الْجُمْهُورِ, this child has the obligation to pay the zakat, and who will pay it on his behalf, his guardian or his father. But here they said, must be adult. This is the opinion of the Hanafi madhab. Muslim, of course, there is no obligation on non-Muslims. Non-Muslims do not pay zakat. So if they live in a Muslim country, and this Muslim country is applying Sharia, they have to pay jizya. It's a different tax. It's a tax that they pay. So the Muslims will be paying zakat. They don't pay taxes in a Muslim country. And non-Muslims will pay taxes. Fair, right? Some non-Muslims are upset about it. They keep talking about this, jizya. I mean, Muslims are paying zakat, non-Muslims are paying taxes. Zakat is an ibadah. You cannot ask a non-Muslim to do an act of ibadah. So there is nothing wrong with it. Anyway, the third type of person who is mentioned here, someone who of sound mind. So sometimes someone who is mentally challenged, right? He has a mental illness, he's insane, he doesn't have to pay in the Hanafi madhab. Jumhur, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, they say he still have to pay. Who pays it on his behalf? Again, his guardian. His guardian or a family member who is in charge of his affairs. He could be insane but wealthy, mentally challenged but wealthy. Okay? So in the view of the Jumhur, and this is what I prefer, and this is what I choose, the view of the Jumhur, of the majority of Muslim scholars, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Tayyib, male and female, sometimes you have husband and wife, they have a joint account. So if she's working, she has an income, a salary, this is her money, Islamically it's her money. So her husband doesn't own her money. And she has the obligation, like him, to pay zakat on her savings. If they have a joint account, the best thing to do is to estimate how much is her money, how much is his money. It could be 70% coming from the husband, 30% from his wife, for example. If it is 10,000, that means he owns 70,000, he's close. His savings are very close to the nisab. He has to watch his savings. She has only 3,000, she doesn't have to worry about zakat. Right? But if their joint account has like 40,000 and she owns 30%, that's around 12,000, she has the obligation to pay zakat and he has the obligation to pay zakat. So both of them have to have this individual responsibility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pay zakat. Now these are some of misconceptions. Like, yeah, we get these questions all the time. I'm saving money to get married. Do I have to pay zakat on these savings? Yes, you still have to pay zakat. It is cash that is being saved for you in your account. Yes, we know that you are planning to get married, but it is an obligation to pay this 2.5%. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your wealth, and inshallah you'll have enough money to get married. And I am saving money to buy a house. Same question, same answer. You still have to pay zakat. Some people, they feel that these things could be a justification for not paying zakat. Because I am saving money to get married, I'm saving money to buy a house, I'm saving money for hajj. Sounds very good, right? It's another obligation, another pillar of Islam, right? It's not an excuse. You still have to pay zakat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your wealth, and you'll be able, inshallah, to go for hajj. I don't have a job, but I have savings in the account, in the bank. Yeah, if you have 100,000, you still have to pay zakat, 2.5. You don't have a job, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with another job, but you still have to pay zakat. Do I exclude the value of the nisab? This is the understanding of some brothers and sisters. Like, okay, I have 20,000 now, and the nisab today is 8,000, so I pay only on 12,000. No, that's not correct. You pay on the whole amount of money that you have, which is 20,000. So the nisab is used to measure your obligation. Are you obligated to pay zakat or not? The nisab is not to be excluded. It's not to be excluded. I don't have to pay zakat on the amount which I already paid on it last year. This is one of the questions that we receive. I paid, I have like 30,000, but last year I had 20,000. Do I still have to pay on the same 20,000 this year? Yes, it is an annual obligation. It happens every year. Every year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to pay 2.5 on the whole amount of money that you own. I cannot pay zakat to any family member. This is not true. You cannot pay zakat to your father. You cannot pay zakat to your wife because you have to spend on her. You cannot pay zakat to your children except in one case. If they have a loan, your parents have a loan, your wife has a loan, your children have a loan, they are not able to make the payment. In this case, you are allowed to give them from your zakat to pay the loan. That's the only exception. You cannot give them zakat to cover their basic needs, their daily expenses, food, shelter, medical treatment, transportation. So you don't give them zakat for these kind of things. But if they have a loan, you are allowed to give them. I'm talking about these family members, parents, children, and wife. But the other family members, as a basic principle, you are allowed to give them zakat if they are fuqara. Your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your cousins, you are allowed to give them zakat if they are fuqara. And you will be rewarded in two ways. The first reward for giving zakat. The second reward for what? Naam? Silat al-Rahim, keeping the ties of kinship. Keeping the ties of kinship. So your reward will be multiplied when you give it to a family member who deserves the zakat. You don't give him because he's your cousin. If he's doing fine, you cannot give him your zakat. If he's not able to cover the basic needs, then you give him your zakat. Or he's able to cover the basic needs, but he has a surgery in the hospital. And in his country, the healthcare system does not cover the surgery, and he needs to pay for it. In this case, you can give him zakat. Because he's able to buy, to pay for his food and his basic needs, but he doesn't have money to pay for the surgery. A young person who wants to get married, right? He's able to spend on himself, but he doesn't have the ability to get married, to give the mahar and to spend money on his wedding. You are allowed to give him zakat. As long as it is not an extravagant wedding, yani it's within his plannings are within reasonable terms. He's not planning to do a very expensive wedding. He's not planning to give expensive gifts to his wife. He knows his limits. His income is very very low. And he knows that he cannot afford this kind of money. So in this case, as I said, if he's doing good planning and spending within reasonable limits, you are, inshallah, allowed to give him zakat to help him to get married. Now, gold or silver nisab. Mathalan, in this guide, National Zakat Foundation, they prefer the silver nisab. What is their argument? This is the argument of some Muslim scholars. They said, yes, we know the silver nisab is very low because it is 200 dirhams at the time of Rasulullah. And the nisab is 595 grams of pure silver, gold 20 dinars, which is 85 grams of pure gold, right? 24 carats. But there is a huge difference between the value of gold these days and the value of gold. So as I said, as of March 1st, this year, 2024, the value of nisab was 7,729. But as of today is 8,000. Last year it was 6,000. So the difference is 1,000 between March 2023 and March 2024, 1,000. For this value of 85 grams of pure gold. And I got these prices from goldprice.org. I always check this website. Now, silver, as of today, as of March 1st, the nisab would be 600. So you're talking about 7,700, 7,700, and 600. Huge difference. I believe that we should follow the gold standard. Someone who has 7,000 or 8,000 saved in the account, you could say that he's doing fine. He's okay. And he has the obligation of giving zakat, right? But someone who has 600, he might need help. He might need help. Even if he's single these days. These days, even if he's not married, he doesn't have children, he's single, 600 in the account is nothing. And he might need help to get loan or receive a sadaqah or zakat or whatever. So, and we have the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, hadith Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. It is taken from their wealthy given back to the poor among them. So wealthy, the one who has $600 in his account these days, is not wealthy. Right? And it is, the price of gold is, yes, it's going up these days, but usually it is very stable, is more stable. And it is the fatwa of the Islamic Research Council affiliated with Al-Azhar University a long time ago. This is their choice, and it is the choice of many Muslim scholars. Now, this number is 85 grams, as I said, but the choice of National Zakat Foundation, they follow the silver standard. This is their recommendation. What is their argument? Is the argument of Muslim scholars who said it is better for the fuqara because more people will be paying zakat. More people will be paying zakat. But in Islamic Sharia, we have to look at both sides. We have to take care of those who are paying, right? Take care of them and not look at their needs and their circumstances, and also take care of those who are receiving. So someone who has 600, 700, it means you tell him, pay zakat and miskin huwa mkin yahtaj, yani musa'ada. Now this number is here, most of the Muslim scholars follow the first numbers, 85 grams for gold, 595 grams for silver. I mentioned these numbers here, the other numbers, 87.48 and 612.36, because they are found in some books. I don't want you to be confused if you see them. Just ignore them. Majority of Muslim scholars, majority, they follow the first calculation, the first 85 grams for pure gold and 595 grams for silver. So don't worry about the other numbers. If you find them in some books or some websites, don't worry about them. Wallahu ta'ala. Now, before we calculate our zakat, we have to deal with loans and debts. A loan could be a good loan or a bad loan. So a loan is any money that you have given to someone else as a loan, right? So you are the one who gave the loan. Could be good, could be bad. If it is good, the person who received it is doing fine and he's not denying the loan. If he's denying the loan, he said, no, I didn't take anything from you. You're mistaken, you forgot. I don't know what's wrong with you. So if he tells you this and you lose hope that this person will not pay me back, you classify this loan as a bad loan. You don't include it in your calculation. Bad loans are not to be included. But a good loan, you have to include it. It's not in your hand, but it is with a person that you trust. Your brother, your father, your neighbor, you trust. And he's doing fine, he's not struggling. He's doing fine, he said, okay, we agreed that I'll pay you back within 2 years. It's like money saved for you. It's like save the rest of money that is saved in your account, right? It is not in your hand, but you have confidence. You trust the banking system that your money is still there in your bank account, right? No one will take it. It is not in your hand. So the same thing here. So if it is a good loan, you have to include it in your zakat calculation. Let's say you calculated how much cash you have, the value of your stock, the value of your gold, and then you add this good loan. I gave 2,000 to Mr. Ahmed or Brother Ahmed, right? I gave him 2,000, so you include it, and you pay zakat on it. If it is a bad loan, just exclude it, forget about it. But how about if he pays you, he makes tawbah, and he pays you after 10 years or 15 years? That's okay, you accept your money, you take your loan from him, and you don't have to worry about the last 10 years. Because it was your loan was classified as a bad loan for the last 10 years. You have to worry about the payment of 10 years. Just add it to your saving and pay zakat on it on your zakat anniversary. There are some ulama who said you pay zakat on it for 1 year only. It's another opinion, good opinion. But if you add it to your saving and you pay zakat on your zakat anniversary, that's fine. That is the opinion of a major Muslim fiqh council. Wallahu ta'ala. Short-term and long-term debts. Short-term debts, debts that you owe, money you owe to other people. They owe you. Yani you have to pay them back. It's a debt obligation. So you took this money from other people. Or it's a credit sale. You bought something with a credit sale and you have to pay them back. You have to pay other people back. So if you are planning to pay them back within the next 12 months, within the lunar calendar, the Hijri calendar, this is a short-term debt. You are allowed to exclude this money from the calculation. You don't pay zakat on it. Any short-term debt, you are allowed to exclude it. Let's say after 5 months after Ramadan, my zakat obligation is in Ramadan, and then after 5 months, I'm paying Ahmed 5,000. I agreed. I made an agreement with Brother Ahmed or Muhammad to pay him his loan or his debt or the money that that I have to pay. So within 5 months, this 5,000, you are allowed to exclude it because it is a short-term debt. You don't long-term debts, anything beyond 1 year, you don't have the right to exclude it. Like someone who bought a house for 400,000 or half a million. If he excludes this money, this debt from his zakat, he will never pay zakat. He will never pay zakat because it's a huge amount of money. And it is long term, 25 years. This is one of the misconceptions. Since we are talking about bad loans and good loans, I think I mentioned that. Do not turn bad loans into a zakat payment. And if someone who is struggling, say, I cannot pay you, tell them, don't worry about it, I'll just make it zakat. And you'll be saving your money. So you cannot do that. It's one of the misconceptions or one of the questions that we receive sometimes. Now, if you are an employee, you don't have a business, you don't have merchandise, this is how you calculate your zakat. Cash plus the value of your stock. Now, the value, you calculate the value of your stock based on the current market price. If you are a speculator, you are an active investor. Who is an active investor? He's someone who buys and sells within the period of 1 week, on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, within a year. If he's a long-term investor, there is another formula. We'll talk about it. Another formula for long-term investors, those who leave their stocks, they don't touch them, they leave them for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, and then they sell them later on when their price appreciate. So this is long-term investment. If it is a short-term investment, for speculators, they need to look the value of their holdings based on the current market price, سعر السوق. Yani if I am paying zakat today, right? I have to check the value of my stock. Today, the value of my stock is 20,000. I include 20,000. I have cash, 50,000. 20,000 is the value of my stock. Good loans, I gave a loan to Muhammad, 2,000, and he's doing fine, he's not denying my loan, I include it, another, plus 2,000. So 50,000, plus 20,000, plus 2,000, and I have short-term debts. The value of these debts are 10,000. I have to pay them within 2 months. I exclude them, minus. So 50 plus 20 plus 2, that's 72, right? 72,000 minus 10,000. How much in my the value of my zakat money, zakatable money? 62,000, right? Because I excluded 10,000. If I am following the Islamic calendar, and this is what we are supposed to do, we follow the Islamic calendar. We follow the Hijri calendar, 2.5. If I am following the Gregorian calendar, 2.577, because there is a gap. There is a difference between the Islamic year and the Gregorian year, it's 11 days. So this kind of small difference here is for this period of time. It has to be justified. If you follow the Gregorian calendar, you have to have a valid justification. For example, there are people who say, I pay Zakat every December because this is the time I'm a business owner and this is the time I calculate I do my taxes, or I don't know. They have their own, you know, tax system. So they said, this is the time I calculate how much I have and everything, and I like to pay Zakat. It has to be justified. This is permissible, but not encouraged. Now, if we talk about long-term investment, you have to determine the zakatable asset ratio. So if you have a balance sheet, you're investing in a company in a long term, leaving your stock there for 5 years or 6 years. So you go to the balance sheet, you have to look at the total current asset minus the interest income, if you are able to determine the interest income, because interest income, you're not supposed to pay zakat on it. The money that you pay zakat on it has to be interest-free. Because as a Muslim, if you have interest in your hand, you're supposed to get rid of it. You're not allowed to use it. And since you are not allowed to use it, you're not supposed to pay zakat on it. So if you are able to determine the interest income from the balance sheet, that's good. If you are not, just calculate the total value of the current assets, cash and cash equivalents and all the other current assets, receivable, account receivables and all the current assets. So divided by the market cap. What is the market cap? The market cap is the market value of the company. Is the total amount of shares, outstanding shares, multiplied by their price in the market. And you get the market cap from Yahoo Finance. If you go to, if you are investing in a company, it is a publicly registered company, publicly traded company. Go to Yahoo Finance, you get the market cap of your company. Or any other source, but Yahoo Finance is good for this kind of information. But the total of current assets, you get it from the balance sheet, and these are public documents. Yani everyone has access to these documents. So we have an example here, 15 million divided by 90 million, which is the market cap of this company. What is their ratio? Is 0.1666, which is 16.66%. Your holding, the current value of your holding is 12,000. This is the market based on the market price. This is the total value of your holding. How much you own. الأسهم. قيمة الأسهم. التي تملكها في هذه الشركة. So you multiply it by this ratio. And this is how much. This is the amount of your zakatable. Your zakatable portion is only 2,000. It's not 12,000. Because if you own a shares in the company, you are one of the owners, right? And if you are an owner of the business, you pay zakat only on cash and inventory, things that are for sale, and account receivables, money that people are supposed, your customers are supposed to pay you back. You don't pay zakat on your fixed assets. If you have a building, you don't pay zakat on your building. You don't pay zakat on the equipments. You don't pay zakat on your vehicles that are used in the business. Anything that is used in the business. You have a big piece of land that is not for sale or is not intended, strictly intended for business. It is used in the business, but you didn't own it to make a profit on it. So it's not an item, trading item. It's not meant for trading. So if you are an owner, this is how you treat your business. So if you are an owner of shares in a company, this is how you calculate the value of your zakatable assets within that company. Is that clear, Ya Akhwan? Okay. Yeah, you look at how much cash they have, and
the ratio will be very low, right?
It could be, yeah. If they don't have merchandise, will. Yeah. If they have softwares, will programs, will they, then you need to calculate the value of their programs if they're being sold. But it's service, strictly service. I don't know what kind of method. Do you have an example? Yeah. Yeah, if they don't have items for sale, so you look at their cash, how much cash they have, and it will be low, yeah. طيب, zakat due on the total value of your investment in the following cases, if you have mutual funds, this is what I believe. If you have your own cryptocurrencies, you calculate their face value or market value. Bonds are not, Muslims are not supposed to trade bonds. Bonds, they are interest-based securities. They are haram, sanadat. لا يجوز للمسلم أن يتعامل بالسندات. But if he owns bonds, if he insists on this business and he wants to own bonds, he has to calculate only the original price of the bonds. So he has to ignore the value of the income coming on these bonds. طيب, let's talk a little bit about pension plans. Let's say I have an RRSP. If I have access, full access to my RRSP account, then I still have to pay zakat, but I pay zakat only if I decide to close the account or withdraw the whole amount. I have to look at how much is left in my hands, which means you don't have to pay zakat, you don't have the obligation to pay zakat on any penalty or any money that is taken by the bank or taken by the government. Because when you withdraw money from your RSP account, they don't give you the full amount. It depends on how much you have in this account. They might withdraw 15%, 20%, Allahu alam. So you take away the penalties and the fees and the taxes, and you pay zakat on the rest. Imagine you have taken your money, the whole amount. How much will be left in your hand? This is the amount that you pay zakat on it. Is that clear, Yaquan? Very simple. If it is locked, no zakat. Don't have to worry about it until you start withdrawing money from this account. RESP. There is a brother who asked me about RESP today. For children, right? So now zakat is only due on the contribution of the parents. Money coming from the government, you don't pay zakat on it. He told me the children own this money. Yes, they own it, but their ownership is full when it comes to the money that was deposited by the parents. But the money coming from the government, their ownership on it is not full. Why? Because if I am paying zakat today on behalf of my children, we decide to close the account. If we decide to close the account, the government will immediately take all the contribution. They will take their money. They don't allow the children to benefit from this money until they are 18 and they go to university. If you decide as a father to close this account, the government will immediately take their money back. So the ownership is not complete. But it is complete on the money that was deposited by you as a father. Because it's your money. If you decide to close the account, you'll be able to take your own money. And this money, you gave it to your children. When you give it to them, it becomes their ownership because the account is their ownership. Now you have to look at how many children you have and how much every child owns. If everyone is, like the ownership of every child is 4,000, these days you don't have to worry about zakat because the nisab is around 8,000. These days, today, as of today, the nisab is 8,000. So if every child owns like 4,000, 3,000, you don't have to worry about zakat. You don't pay zakat on behalf of all of them. Let's say there is 10,000 there, and there are three children. Three, 10 by three, that would be 3,500 for each child, right? Or 600, 3,600 for each child. So you don't have to worry about zakat for them. But when this money, mashallah, the savings increase, and then everyone is an owner of a nisab, then you have to pay zakat on their behalf. And you pay it from their pocket, your pocket, on their behalf. From your pocket, as a father, on their behalf. I'm sure that you are not allowed to take money from this account. Is that clear, Ikhwan, بالنسبه للRESP? Business owners. طيب, if you are a business owner, you use the same formula, but you should add the value of the inventory. And you need to use the market price to calculate the value of your business merchandise. Market price. You'll find some fatwas, like here also. This is the choice of this guide, I guess. They tell you, you calculate the value of your merchandise based on the wholesale price. سعر الجملة. This is not what I believe is the right opinion. Because what is fair is, if we talk about market price, if you sell your merchandise today, how much are you going to get? You get the value of the buying price or selling price? Huh? You bought them with 100, but you're selling with 120. Most likely you're going to receive in your hand 120, not 100, because you bought it for 100. So that is the market price, and that is how much you're going to receive in your hand if you sell them today. But if you are a wholesaler, that's okay. You calculate the value of your merchandise based on the price you are selling them with, which is a wholesale price. No zakat again on the value of fixed assets, buildings, equipment, furniture, vehicles used in the business, computers, all the equipment you are using, machines, even if they are expensive. Even if these machines are very expensive, you don't have to pay zakat on them because they are not meant for sale. You are using them in your business. No zakat on any halal jewelry if it is for personal use. This is the opinion of Jumhur al-Ulama. Jumhur al-Ulama, majority of Muslim scholars. The Hanafi school of thought, they have a different opinion. They believe that a woman has the obligation to pay zakat on her jewelry, even if it is for personal use. Majority of Muslim scholars, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, all of them believe that there is no obligation if they are for personal use. And that was the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha and Asma, her sister. And they're women. They know about this issue very well. Aisha was the wife of the Prophet, Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and her sister. And there are some stories in Ahadith that Aisha had she sponsored some orphans and they had jewelry and she was not paying zakat on their jewelry. And the opinion of other Sahaba too. But there are some other Sahaba who used to believe that, no, we have to pay zakat on jewelry. Anyway, it's a matter of disagreement between Muslim scholars. But majority of Muslim scholars believe no, there is no zakat on any halal jewelry. If a woman decides to be in the safe side, on the safe side, and pay for her zakat, that's fine. Right? But zakat is obligatory in some cases. Definitely. If the jewelry is saved as a store of value. So, a sister got jewelry, and she's saving them in a box, in the bank. She's not using them. They are used as a store of value. Gold is a good way to save money. Right? That is her intention. She doesn't care about using them. This is how I save money. I buy gold and leave it in a box. So here in this case, she has to pay zakat. If this jewelry is owned by a brother, a male member of the community, definitely he has to pay zakat. Because he's not allowed to beautify himself with al-hulay, with jewelry. So there's no personal use here for him. He has to pay zakat. If it is intended for trade, definitely. Definitely, if someone is a businessman and he sells jewelry, then he has to pay zakat on it. If it is used as a decoration at home, we have to pay zakat on it. If we have some utensils made of gold and silver, there is ijma', we have to pay zakat on them, on their value. Awani, masnu'a min al-dhahab wal-fidda, utensils. So in all these cases, zakat is obligatory. Now, if my gold is less than 24 carats, let's say Fatima here owns 1,000 grams of 18-carat gold jewelry. Does she have to pay zakat on 1,000 grams? Let's say it's used as a store of value here, and she has to pay zakat on it. First of all, she's paying zakat. She can use the depreciated price. What is the depreciated price? If she wants to take her jewelry to a jewelry store to sell it, they will not pay her based on the international or the price in the international markets, the one that you find on gold price, for example, .org. They will give her less, maybe 20% less. If it is 80, they will give her $70 per gram or $60 per gram. She can use this price to calculate the value of her wealth. Now, if she is 18, she needs to multiply 1,000 by 18 divided by 24. She will get the value of her grams in gold, in pure gold. So here is 750 grams. So if we multiply $70, let's say she will use $70 per gram as a way to measure her, how much she has, the value of her gold. If she multiplies the whole 1,000, her zakatable assets will be 70,000. But if she uses this formula, she will be multiplying only 750 by 70, that would be 52,000. That's a huge difference. So she doesn't have to pay zakat on 70,000. She will be paying zakat only on 52,500. That's a huge difference. And many sisters, they have like gold, 14 carat, 16, 18. Yeah, 24, I don't know if it exists in the market. Does it exist? It's rare, very rare, right? So, but most people have 18, 20 carats, so they can use this formula to calculate the value of their wealth if they have the obligation to pay zakat. Gemstones and diamonds, there is no zakat on them unless they are intended for trading. Like someone is a businessman and this is his business. Is buying and selling gemstones and precious stones and precious metals, not gold and silver. I'm not talking about gold, silver, but he's a businessman. He trades these things. Then he has to calculate their value based on the current market price and pay zakat on them. But if they are at home, if the person is keeping them at home, even if they are a store of value, he doesn't have to pay zakat. You tell me why? Allahu alam. But maybe because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the dhahab wal fidda, gold and silver in the Quran, the Sunnah has mentioned gold and silver, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ulama, they said these things are not mentioned in the Quran, they are not mentioned in the Sunnah, so we cannot have We cannot ask people to pay zakat on them. We cannot place a burden on people without a proof. If you think about them, if I have gemstones and diamonds at home, it is a type of wealth, right? Like rabbits, for example, there is no zakat on rabbits. If I have 100 rabbits in my farm, if they are for personal ownership, like I use them for personal consumption, let's say example, I don't have to pay zakat on them, right? But if they are for business, I have to pay zakat on them. But cows, livestock, I have to pay zakat on them all the time, whether they are for personal use or for business. Chicken, there is no zakat on chicken. But if they are for sale, I have to calculate their value and pay zakat on them. There is no zakat on fish. If I have like a big pond at home and I'm growing fish for personal consumption, for my family. Even if I have 1,000 fish, I don't have to pay zakat on their value. But if I have 40 sheep, whether they are for personal use or for business, I have to pay zakat. So there are zakatable assets, and there are other items that are not zakatable. These gemstones and diamonds are not zakatable.
Wouldn't stocks be the same?
What do you mean stocks?
If we look at stocks, it's considered wealth, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a stock, it's your ownership in a company. And this company owns cash, they have inventory. It's not like, even if they have gemstones and diamonds, this company, and if they are for sale, you still have to pay zakat, and the company has to pay zakat if they are for sale. But I'm talking about gemstones and diamonds as a personal ownership. You own them. And you don't intend to sell them for profit. So that's, you have to look at your intention here. I know what you mean. Yeah, but there is no zakat on them. That's right. It's a good question. But as a basic principle, there is no zakat on them. Taib. When it comes to real estate, for example, real estate, yeah, as a basic principle, real estate properties are not zakatable unless they are strictly intended for business. If they are intended for trade, you are a real estate investor and you intend, your niyyah is to sell them, to flip them in the market. Buy and sell. But if you buy them and own them and use them as rental properties, you don't have to pay zakat on their value. You pay zakat on the rental income. You see the difference? Pay zakat on the rental income. If you don't know what to do with it, this is a very common question. I have mixed feelings. I don't know what to do. I just bought this piece of land, but I'm not sure about my niyyah. I'm not sure about my intention. Very common, actually, statement. Here you don't have to pay zakat. You have to determine your niyyah. If it is not determined, then it's not zakatable. Pardon? You don't have to. But if you are a businessman, you're selling, buying and selling properties, you pay zakat on them, on their value. Even if you change your mind and you want to sell it, there is no zakat on it until you sell it. You sell it and it's cash, you add it to your savings and you pay zakat on it. So real estate properties are not zakatable unless, as I said, they are part of your business. You are buying and selling. Yeah, rental, you pay zakat on the rental income. Yeah. You pay zakat on the rental income after you exclude your expenses. Yani if you spend it on yourself, you don't have to pay zakat. But if you are saving this rental income, yeah, you pay zakat on it. It's cash. It's money that you are saving. Nah.
Yeah.
So the brothers here, he is asking if there is a principle or a rule we can use to distinguish between the people who are sincere and people who are trying to play a game with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid and escape zakat, right? I mean, if he's trying to escape zakat, it's his problem, right? It's a personal problem here that this person has to deal with. If he decide to buy properties to escape zakat, if we discover his intention, if he says it, says that this is my intention, then we tell him the fatwa is you have to pay zakat. Wallahi, this is true. I'm not joking.
So it goes for diamond as well. Somebody buys diamond.
Of course, there's no doubt about it.
He has to pay zakat
if this is his intention. Is if his intention is to escape zakat, the obligation of zakat. But they say, okay, I want to buy land because I believe it's a good store of value, for example. That's okay, that's fine. Yes?
To buy a masjid?
Yeah. You can give zakat to the masjid or Islamic school, yes. It is allowed, especially in the West. This is the fatwa that we follow. Under the category fi sabilillah. We'll talk about the categories now. These are the 8 categories. الفقراء المساكين العاملين عليها المؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وإنسان ابن السبيل في سبيل الله مسافر يعني انقطعت به السبل. So poor people, they are فقراء, and the difference between them and the مساكين, there is a difference. Poor people, they have no income or they have a very low income. So their income is enough to cover less of 50. This is a good criteria to use. To cover less than 50% of their basic needs. Let's say we have a family. They need 40,000 to survive for the whole year and cover all their basic needs. Their income covers less than 50% of their needs, which means it is less than 20,000. We said they need 40,000 for the whole year. Their income is less than 20,000, it's 15,000. These are fuqara or masakeen? These are fuqara. And Allah started with them. Masakeen, they are eligible to receive zakat. Eligible to receive zakat. But their income is higher than the income of the fuqara. Let's say they need 40,000, again a family, they need 40,000 to cover their basic needs. Their income covers 75% of their basic needs. Their income is 30,000. Their budget is very tight. They still need around 10,000 to cover all their basic needs. They deserve to receive zakat, and they are masakeen, right? Their state, their status is better than the status of the fuqara. And the difference, what is good, use this criteria if you, مثلاً, you have a small amount of zakat, for example. You have like only $200 to give to a family, and you have two families. And you are able to distinguish between both of them. You said this family, first family is fuqara, they are fuqara. The second family, they are masakeen. Do you give 200 to the fuqara or the masakeen? Maybe you prefer to give to the masakeen, the fuqara, because they are in need. I mean, their situation is worse than the situation of the masakeen, right? If you have to choose, of course. Employed to collect, yani these people used to be employed by the Muslim state to collect zakat and to distribute it. Nowadays, there are some ulama who said those who work in zakat organizations, they can be paid. They get their salaries from zakat. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Those inclined towards accepting Islam, al-mu'allafati qulubuhum, they could be also leaders within their communities. And if we give them from zakat, then they will serve, they will help the Muslim community, they could protect the Muslim community. they might actually help Muslims in any way or shape. So these people, we might give them zakat, but it is a decision that has to be made by the leadership of the community, not individuals, to the best of my knowledge. Leaders in the Muslim community or the Muslim ummah, they are the ones who make this decision, right? We could be dealing with a political leader, a president, a leader of a country. We might actually give him from zakat because we know that he will help the Muslim community in a certain way. So this is something, a decision that has to be done by the leadership of the community or leadership of the Muslim state. Fir riqab, those who are slaves, we don't have slavery nowadays, but in the old days, zakat used to be paid for those who were slaves and they were trying to free themselves, to pay money to their masters so they can gain their freedom. So this is how Islam was encouraging slaves to become free, right? This is how, because to understand the concept of slavery in Islam is very important to look at all the rules regarding slavery in Islam. And you find that Islam did not stop slavery, but Islam was encouraging people to free slaves and help them to free themselves. The hikmah. Because if Islam, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a prophet or as a messenger and said, okay, slavery is not allowed anymore, there are many people who grew up in families and they were slaves and they have no family connections, they will be confused, they don't know what to do. It will be something, like they will be shocked, right? But Islam wanted to solve this problem within a gradual process, right? So one of the ways to help them become free is to give them from zakat. That was in the old days. Al-gharimin, those who are in debt, they are either those who took a debt to spend on themselves and their families for halal purposes, or they took a debt to spend to achieve a goal within the community, a certain purpose within the community. But then, for example, two families were fighting with each other. They had a business dispute, right? And they couldn't solve it. There was no way they could solve this business dispute. So this man wanted to create peace. It is permissible and encouraged in Islam. So he said, okay, how much you owe them? And said, okay, we need 10,000. They took 10,000 from us. This is what we believe. So he will give them 10,000 to make peace between the two parties. This person has the right to receive zakat for this cause. Al-gharimun. So there are two types of... In the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this zakat fi sabilillah, in the old days it used to be given to those who volunteer with Muslim armies. So a Muslim army is going out to fight and protect the land of Muslims. Those who volunteer, they don't have a salary from the government. They are allowed to receive zakat. And there are many ulama, they said al-jihad bil-kalima can be via da'wah, through da'wah efforts, through building masajid, building schools. So they include Islamic schools and they included masajid in this category, which is fi sabilillah. It's a famous opinion. There are people who do not agree with that. There are some ulama who do not agree with that. But it is a very popular opinion now, and many masajid and many Islamic organizations are adopting this opinion. Someone who is traveling and he was lost in a country, he could be wealthy back home, but in that location, specific location, he lost his money, he lost everything. This person, we can give him zakat to go back to his country, but nowadays, I don't think it's practical. If someone loses his money in a country, right, and you are wealthy, you have money back home in your bank account, you can contact your family, contact your friends. It's easy. It's easy. Means of communication made it easy for people to contact their family members or transfer money from other countries. So I don't think this category exists these days. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So these are the eight categories that are mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah in Ayah 60. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, do you have any other question? Sister, do you have questions? Sisters or brothers? Tfaddal. But it is cash that you have in your hand.
Yes.
And you're planning to build,
yes,
to build a building with it, a house or something?
Yes. So that I can live.
Yeah, a house for your own self, for your family.
Yes.
Yeah, but it is cash in your hand. You have to pay zakat on it. The construction. You pay zakat on it.
Yes.
The moment you build your house, it becomes your personal property. You don't have to pay zakat in your house. So if it is in the shape of a house, you don't pay zakat on it. You don't pay zakat on your car, your personal car. Any personal item, you don't pay zakat on it. But if it is cash, you pay zakat on it. 2.5. Yes?
So you mentioned the Nisab, it's 8,000, like for right
now. It's like as of today, yeah. Yeah.
You wait
until it goes back to the nisab and you start counting again.
Okay.
You cancel the first calculation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you start counting. Yeah, so the day you reach your savings reach the nisab again, that will be your new deadline, your new zakat anniversary.
And it has to stay 1 year and then you pay the zakat.
It has to stay 1 year, yeah. That's right, yeah. You have to keep watching. Unfortunately, so at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was easy. 20 dinars. And they used to use the dinars on a daily basis, right? It's very easy for them. It was easier for them to calculate the nisab. Nowadays, you have to watch for the price of gold. It is based on the value of 85 grams of pure gold. It might go down again, 7,500. These days it will be between 7,000 to 8,000. So when your savings reach this value, this amount, pay attention. Tfadl. Just a second, before I answer the question, I just want to make some announcements here, and then we continue, inshallah. So we have fundraising dinner for IDRF, and this fundraising dinner will be dedicated for Palestine, inshallah. This money will be collected to help our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And the date of this fundraising will be Friday, March 22nd. And the place, the location is Polish, the Polish Canadian Cultural Center, very close from here. And you can get your tickets from their website, IDRF. So we have IDRF today, and we have National Zakat Foundation. So National Zakat Foundation, they distribute zakat in Canada. They don't send it overseas. If you want to keep your zakat in Canada, you give it to this organization, or give it to ISC, we take zakat too. And IDRF, they are an international relief organization, and they send money to other places, other countries. And one of them is Palestine. Everyone is talking about Palestine these days in Gaza. And most of the fundraising dinners will be to help, inshallah, will be for the purpose of helping our brothers and sisters in Gaza. IDRF is doing another event in collaboration with, coordination with MSA, University of Calgary, and MSA from SAIT, I guess. And this is Calgary Student Iftar and Fundraising. And the speaker will be Sheikh Naveed Aziz. And it will take place on Thursday, March 28. The location is Habibi's Banquet Hall here beside Akram Juma. So these are two future events for IDRF. National Zakat Foundation doesn't have an event here in Calgary planned for during the month of Ramadan, but they have their own website. If you want to give your zakat to them, they are available online. As I said, IIC also accepts zakat, and we have two programs. We have da'wah programs to finance da'wah programs, or IIC Helping Hands. Helping Hands, we help families in need. We have around 100 families registered with us, and they need help, so we give them food every month. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Tafadhal akhi. During the whole year?
Yeah. And then that's going to be much more stable and better, indicator.
It could be an opinion, but as a basic principle, the calculation of the zakat, or the way you calculate the value of your zakat, how much you have to pay, is based on the market price of your assets on that day. Because if you sell your assets on the same day, this is how much you're going to receive in your hand.
Yeah, but usually, so they were talking about long-term investment.
Long-term investment, we mentioned the formula.
Yeah, but that's specifically for companies, for stocks, right?
Yeah.
If you have something like Bitcoin or something that...
Bitcoin has to be treated like fiat money. It's money. Yeah.
They
were talking about cryptocurrencies?
Well, my question is specifically for Bitcoin, but in the paper it was published in 2002, so there were no cryptocurrencies back then.
Yeah.
They were talking about stocks, but stocks specifically that were volatile.
Mm.
And so they were proposing basically that matter.
That is their opinion. But Anna, I would go with the basic principle that you calculate the value of your wealth on the day you're paying zakat. This is safer. And it goes both ways. Could be the value could be higher on that day and you pay more zakat. It could be lower and you pay less zakat. So it depends on on the situation. So I believe this is fair. Wallahu ta'ala alam. It's based on the market, the conditions of the market. They could be in your favor. It could be against you. And this is business. This is how it works, right? Tafadhal akhi. On the same day you are calculating, you have to see the value, look at the value of your stocks, your holdings, and you pay zakat on that value. Yeah. So I'll give you a basic principle regarding tijara, trading activities, right? When you pay zakat on the principal and the profit. So the Prophet is attached to the capital of your business. How much you put in your business on day one, right? The Prophet is, yani the zakat of the Prophet is based on the zakat of the capital, which means it doesn't matter how much this Prophet stayed with you. When it comes to tijara, urud al-tijara, when it comes to business, you don't separate between the capital and the Prophet. Regardless, I'm not talking about bitcoins, I'm not talking about cryptocurrency, I'm talking about this basic principle for business activities. And companies, they cannot separate, they cannot, Islamically, in the books of fiqh, they cannot have a separate deadline for the Prophet. Right? You can have a separate deadline for an income that you receive that is not related to your business. Let's say your zakat anniversary is in Ramadan. Let's say in Ramadan 15th of Ramadan, right? In Sha'ban, you received a big amount of money. You sold a house. And you got 400,000. And then you have the choice to include these 400,000 in your zakat calculation and pay zakat on it. But you still have the right to say, I received these 400,000 in Sha'ban. I'm not going to pay zakat on it. I'll wait till 1 year has passed, but not next Ramadan. You said it right, next Sha'ban. So it will be a separate zakat anniversary for this 400,000, because it's a big amount, a significant amount. But the ulama, they said, if someone is employed and he receives a salary, if he follows this methodology, he'll have to have a zakat anniversary for each for each income, right? And it will be very complicated. That's why they advise Muslims to just have one zakat anniversary, right? On that time, you see how much you have and you pay zakat 2.5 and you have a peace of mind, right? You don't have to worry about all these calculations and different dates. But as I said, again, if you receive a big amount of money before 1 month before you say, you have the right to say, okay, I'm not going to pay zakat on it. I'll have to wait. I'll wait for 1 year. And next year, inshallah, I'll pay zakat on it. But it will have a separate deadline. See the difference? This is a separate income, not related to any business activity. But if you have a business activity, then the profit goes with the capital. Allah.
You said it
in the
presentation, if you're
Yeah. Jazakumullah khair. Yes, brother. If you are paying zakat in advance, yes, that's okay, in advance. Like let's say, مثلاً, your zakat anniversary is in Ramadan, and from last Ramadan you decided to pay every month, give a family a payment every month, right? If it is zakat, paying zakat in advance, that's fine. You're paying zakat in advance, right?
No, you
are not allowed to delay it. Because this is a very common question. They always tell me, people, that I want to give some relatives, right, zakat. But I know, I feel they are not responsible. If I give them the whole amount, they will spend it right away. And next month, they will ask for help. I tell them, I mean, it's their problem. Give them the zakat. Get rid, yeah, fulfill your duty and give them. If you want to give them zakat, give them the zakat, and it's their problem how they deal with it and how they manage it. But if someone is safih, you know what is safih? He's mentally challenged. Then yes, in this case, you don't give him zakat, you give it to someone else, a guardian or a family member, who will give it to him in a gradual, he will not give him the whole amount. He will try to spend it on him. He will see, look at his needs, and spend it on him. In this case, this person, you don't give him the whole amount. But if someone is not a normal person, Then you give them zakat, and whatever they do with it, it's their problem. Because it becomes their ownership. Well, yeah.
So with regards to like preference of who to give zakat to, you said it's better to give it locally. But like, what if you have like a lot of, for example, family back home?
Yeah, if you have a justification, you want to give it to a family member who is in need, send it overseas to Gaza, that's okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but as a basic principle, in our deen, we need to fulfill the needs of the local community first. So every community has to take care of the needs of their own community. This is the philosophy of zakat. Yeah. But it is permissible to send it overseas. Jazakum Allah khair. I think you don't have questions, right? You're fine? You good? Everyone's good? Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your time. And again, we'll wait for tomorrow and see what will happen. Yeah, it's not guaranteed.